turn with me to James chapter 3, and beginning in verse 1, it says, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in the word, he is a perfect man, able to also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at the ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very little small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how a great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire in a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell." Lord, we pray that you would open up our hearts to receive your word tonight. Lord, we pray literally that you would change our lives tonight. We pray, Lord, that you would change, Lord, our speech. Lord, we pray that you would help us, Lord, to be able to, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, to be able to have control over our tongues and our speech and the things that we say. Lord, we just pray that you would put that guard upon our lips, Lord. We pray that you would speak to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. We all agreed and said, amen. 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 Everyone in this room is carrying a concealed weapon. Every one of you. If you don't believe me, just stick out your tongue. It's right there. It's a concealed weapon. But yet when it comes out, man, can it do some damage. Man, it just so quickly can do damage. Your tongue is a dangerous weapon. It can be used for cursing or it can be used for blessing. Taming the tongue is not easy to do. In fact, James says in verse 8, no man can tame the tongue. So how can we tame our tongue? How can our tongue be under God's control? Listen, the average person will spend at least one-fifth of his or her life talking. In fact, in a single day, there's enough words to fill a 50-page book. And in 1 year, the average person's words would fill 132 books, each containing 400 pages. That's a lot of words. On the average, a man will speak about 25,000 words per day. A woman, 300,000. Oh, I'm sorry. That's a misprint. It's actually 30,000, not 300. Although sometimes it seems like 30,000. That stays here. That doesn't go anywhere outside these. That stays in this room. Right, guys? Okay. Listen, how you speak makes a difference. You can either curse someone or you can bless someone. You can speak the truth or you can tell lies. I've heard it said that a lie is halfway around the world while truth is still putting on its shoes. And that's true. The tongue is a powerful little member of our body, yet it can do great damage or it can bring great blessing. Think about men like Adolf Hitler. Think about men like Joseph Stalin. Are a guy named Idi Amin, who caused great destruction, versus men like Abraham Lincoln, or, as we celebrated yesterday, Martin Luther King, or Nelson Mandela, or how about Billy Graham, who gives hope, encouragement, and the word of God. It makes such a difference. We are told in Matthew, Jesus said in Matthew 12:35, that we are held accountable for our words. It says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word may men speak, they will give account on the day of judgment. Eek. Wow. Wow. This is why throughout the entire Bible, it's especially in the book of James, we receive warnings of what not to do and instructions of what to do. And according to James 1, teachers in the church will be held even to a greater degree of strictness or judgment because they know the word of God. They're accountable to the word of God and be able to give out the word of God and to be able to speak correctly. James also uses the words here, my brethren, in verses 1 and then also in verse 12. Telling us this message of the tongue is addressed to the church today, my brothers. And in verse 2, James says, for we all stumble in many things. Listen, as Christians, we all stumble in many things. We all have said something dumb. We've all said something stupid. And the minute the words have left our lips, I'm thinking to myself, why in the world did I say that? But it's too late. It's already gone out. It's already will do its damage. And immediately you start backtracking. Oh, I really didn't mean to say it. Or it doesn't really sound like that. Really? Yeah, it did. It sounded just like what was said and coming out of your heart. The hope is that as we are walking with the Lord, living in the Spirit, that my speech will change. James uses the term bridle the whole body, which means I give God control of my life. He directs my steps, my speech, my motives, my action according to the Spirit. Now James will give us three illustrations of what the tongue is like starting in verse 3. First of all, he says the tongue is compared to a bit in a horse's mouth. A horse is a very powerful and determined creature. A wild horse has great power, but it has no control. It has no obedience, only determined to do whatever it wants to do. It reminds me of my BC days, a lot like my BC days, that I just wanted to do what I wanted to do. I didn't care what God wanted me to do. I was just like a wild horse wanting to do what I wanted to do. However, when you place a bit in its mouth and place a bridle on its head, now the horse's power is under control. And in other words, there's obedience. Now you as a rider will determine where that horse is going to go. David said in Psalm 39:1, he says, I will take heed of my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle when the wicked are before me. The bit hurts if the horse resists. And our tongue can also hurt us if we resist to obey God's instruction. God says, I want you to go this way. And we go, I want to go that way. And all of a sudden we're going, oh, that hurts. Well, that's because you're resisting what God wants you to do. He wants you to be obedient to him. Now, secondly, we see the tongue is compared to a small rudder on a large ship. The rudder turns the ship and it keeps it on course. In other words, it gives direction. It controls the destiny of that great ship. The tongue can do the same. A word of comfort can be a heavenly hug to someone who is grieving. A wise word can be like a rudder giving direction to someone in trouble. An encouraging word can build someone up in their faith. A kind word can bring a smile. He who controls the rudder controls the ship. Listen, just one word can set the course of direction for a lifetime, for literally a lifetime. The third thing we see here, he's make the comparison to fire. James tells us that a small spark can start an uncontrollable fire. Example? How about the fires we experience in Southern California? We see those all the time. And we just got through experiencing all of these fires. One ember can literally travel miles and set a blaze up somewhere else. One ember can fly through the air and land in some leaves or lands in some dry pines or land in some brush. And all of a sudden, it flares up and the wind blows and it sprays it. You've seen those pictures before to where the wind just comes up and here's this ambers everywhere just blowing out. And every place they touch, they start another fire. And we see that happen in people's lives all the time. We see people that are out of control and they literally just go around. They just spread ugliness all over the place. These fires everywhere. And we see here that, listen to James' words again, and look at verse 15. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and it boasts great things. See how a great forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire. It's a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. Beware of the sparks of pride. Beware of the sparks of gossip. Beware of the sparks of lying, the sparks of backbiting, the sparks of corrupt words, the sparks of evil speaking. Those things can light things up and just destroy people's lives and destroy your life as well. It can destroy a marriage. It can destroy a relationship. Listen, one word foolishly spoken can set a fire that will be fanned by the devil himself, the father of lies. The tongue can set the whole course of our lives on fire if we're not careful. Now James tells us in verses 7 and 8 that man can tame the animal kingdom, but he can't control his tongue. Well, you know, just go to SeaWorld. Just go to San Diego Zoo. And you can see, you know, mankind's accomplishment as far as being able to train animals, being able to train wild animals. They can tame those. But it tells us here that for every kind of beast and bird or reptile and creature of the sea is tame and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Excuse me. Notice he says, no man can tame the tongue. Well, that's true. Man cannot tame the tongue. But God has power over the tongue. And if God has power over you, then he has power over your tongue. Listen, as a man lives under the power and control of the Holy Spirit, his speech will change. I've seen it so many times. I've seen it in my own life. You know, coming out of the world and speaking like the world does and just the thing, you know, and I've seen God literally by his word, by the Holy Spirit, change my life, change what I'm saying, change what I'm, you know why? Because you change my heart. He changes what is coming now out of my heart. Yes, the tongue is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Unruly evil means literally here, some caged but unsubdued wild animal, ever pacing uneasily up and down its den. Can you get that picture? That unruly evil, like a wild animal in a cage that's pacing back and forth. The tongue is just waiting for the chance to get out of its cage that it might destroy those that are around them. However, Galatians chapter 6, verse 22 through 25 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And of such, there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I read a story about a former United States president by the name of Harry S. Truman, who had this rule, and I liked it. Any letter written in anger had to sit on his desk for 24 hours before he would mail it. And at the end of that cooling off period, if he felt the same way, he would send the letter. By the end of his life, Truman's unmailed letters filled a large desk drawer, just waiting. I believe when you are writing something in anger, or criticism, or with unkind words, or whether it is a email, whether it is a text, whether it is Facebook or Twitter, wait to hit send. Wait and pray over it. In fact, stop, pray, and think. Think, is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? And is it kind? No man can tame the tongue, but with God, all things are possible. Amen. God can tame the tongue because he is the master, the trainer over it. James goes on to say in verse 9, he says, while it is we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursing. He says, my brothers, these things ought not to be so. I've heard it said that the tongue is the table of content of our lives. It's the table of content of our lives. The tongue reveals the true nature of our hearts. So if my heart is wicked, guess what's going to come out of my mouth? But if my heart is not wicked, well, Jesus said in Mark 7, 20, he says, that which comes out of the mouth is that which defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defiles a man. This is why we curse people, because of what is in our hearts. Listen, some men will come and sing like angels on Sunday, and then they go out and they curse like a demon the next day or the next week. They come in here and they come and they worship God and all of that, you know. And you know, it's kind of funny because, you know, if you have somebody that doesn't know the Lord, you expect that, right? You just expect that. I remember the first time I took my dad to church, you know, and I was a pastor with Greg Laurie up in Riverside, and I remember taking my dad, and he came to church, you know, for the first time and heard the word and all that, and so, you know, I took him up to meet Greg, right? Took him up to meet Greg, and so I introduced, you know, Greg to my dad and stuff like that. My dad looked at Greg and said, hell of a sermon to Greg. And I'm going, oh, dad, no, you know. And Greg just kind of laughs, you know, puts his hand on him, you know, oh, thank you. I was going, oh, my goodness, you know. But later on, my dad came to know Christ. And later on, God changed his speech, changed his life, changed what was in his heart. And so James is saying, we can't bless God and curse your brother and sister. The word he uses here for curse is interesting because it means personal abuse. Wow. Personal abuse. It's losing your temper. It's in a heated controversy. And man, I tell you, that's hard. That's hard when you get, you know, in an argument with your wife, or you get in an argument with someone and things begin to get heated up. And you've done it. I know I've done it before too. And I know you've done it before. All of a sudden you say something, one of those things that you go, oh, why did I say that? Why did I say that to her? And it might have been just some sort of little jab right there. Just, I'm going to get you. Just a little jab. Right there. And then she starts jabbing you. Then you start jabbing her more. Then you start jabbing. And pretty soon, you know, you're in this sword fight with each other. You know, just it's like, it happens all the time. Just little things begin to take place. And we work towards that curse, that personal abuse. In another passage, Jesus said, but out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. By your word, you will be justified are condemned, Matthew 12:34. And all the words in heaven and earth won't change that. It won't change that. By your word, you will be justified, or by your words, you will be condemned. You say, what do you mean? Why? I mean this. The Bible says the word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that Christ has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Listen, by your words you will be justified, or you will be condemned. Proverbs 21:23 says, whosoever guards his mouth and keeps and tongue keeps his soul from trouble. Now we'll conclude with James 11. It says, does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brother, bear olives, or grapevines bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh water. Listen, blessing is the highest and the greatest use of our tongues. Just like what we are doing a few minutes ago. As Brian was leading us in worship, nothing can be more pleasing to God than to hear his men lift up their voices before the Lord and to worship God and to praise God and to give God thanks for all that he's doing. Nothing pleases God more than to see men just lift their voices up, their hearts before the Lord. And the very fruit of that. David wrote, thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee. Hebrews 13:15 says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips that confess his name. Another way to bless God is by sharing his word with others. Romans 10:14 says, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel, who bring glad tidings of good things. Nothing more pleases God for us to be able to share with others what Christ has done in our lives. To be able to share with them our testimony of how we came to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. To be able to tell others about Jesus going to the cross and dying for our sins, shedding his blood for the forgiveness of our sins, and rising again on the third day. That's the gospel. And that is what we are called to do, to be able to preach the gospel. And finally, God wants to bring healing waters in your life tonight. Listen to what James says. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? See, thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. This reminded me of a story in Exodus 15, beginning in verse 22. It tells a story about the children of Israel and how they went out into the wilderness and how they were afraid to die, that they were going to die of thirst. I know I can open this. There we go. It says, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and then they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters because Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of the place was called Marah, and the people complained against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them and said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. The Lord wants to bring healing waters in your soul tonight. Whatever is bitter, he wants to make sweet. How? At the cross. It's at the cross. The Lord wants to bring a healing from a bitter heart. He wants to heal a heart that complains, one that is full of gossip and backbiting. He wants to make the sweet heart of those who lie, speak evil, curses, and backbiting. He wants to literally change our lives. He wants to heal and humble the heart that is full of pride. And whatever it is that is bitter in your life, whatever it is, things maybe that you have said, things that you have regretted in your life, I want you to know you can come to the cross where the bitter water is made sweet. Just like Moses saw that tree, and he threw it into the bitter waters, and it became sweet. So as we come to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, he can take those things in our lives, and he can take the bitterness away, and he can make them sweet as we just yield to him. I love what Jesus said in John 4. He says, whosoever drinks of the water whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whosoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. God wants to have torrents of living water, full of the Holy Spirit, yielded to him, flowing out of our lives, fresh water, clear water, clean water, pure water, and into the lives of others, because Christ is dwelling in our hearts. The Lord wants to bring healing waters in your heart tonight. Revelation 22:17 says, and the Spirit and the bride says, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whosoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. Amen. Father, we just come before you tonight, Lord. I just thank you for my brothers. And I pray, Father, Lord, whatever thing that is in their life, Lord, that is hindering their relationship with you, anything that is bitter in their life, pray that you would make sweet. Anything, Lord, that they need to change in their lives, especially the way they speak, Lord, that you would change literally their heart, that their heart would be yielded to you, Lord, that they would give you the reins, Lord, of their lives, and that you would guide and lead and direct their steps, Lord. I pray, Father, that you would, Lord, give them the fire of the Holy Spirit in their lives, and the things that are coming out, those embers that are coming out, Lord, is the living word of God, Lord, that is setting on fire those for Jesus Christ. Lord, I just pray, Father, that you would help us, Lord, to use our tongues that would bring glory to you, that we would worship you, that we'd preach the word, Lord, that we would be attentive, Lord, to our wives and to our children, Father, that you put a guard upon our lips, Lord, that we might speak those things that would bring honor and glory to your name. For this we ask in Jesus' name, we all agreed and said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys.